Welcome to Artrageous, a weekly podcast about the truly outrageous stories in the art and design world. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Artrageous. I don't know about you, but I am itching to get back into a little bit more of the true crime stuff here on the podcast feed. And I figure what better way to do that than with one of the most well-known artists of all time. If you're thinking that maybe I'm talking about Picasso, then no, we aren't talking about him today, even though one of these days I swear we are going to have to do something about Picasso. But no, not Picasso. It's not Da Vinci. It's not Michelangelo. And actually, I don't even know why I'm drawing out the suspense here when the title of this episode is not ambiguous in the slightest. But today we are talking about Vincent van Gogh and one of the times in 1991 when his works became the target of some sticky-fingered perpetrators. For an artist as prolific as Vincent van Gogh, it really does stand to reason and logic that there are a lot of his works in museums all over the world. One of them in Amsterdam is even dedicated specifically to his works. As such a well-known artist, it's kind of easy to imagine that at least one person in this crazy world might want to play robber and get their hands on one, or two, or even 20 in this case that I'm looking at today. But I'm getting just a little bit ahead of myself. If you've listened to one of these whodunit episodes of Artrageous before, then you know the episode format. First, we need to take a quick recap of who Vincent van Gogh is and why we even care about his art being stolen. You might know him as the struggling artist who painted The Starry Night and cut off his own ear, but there's a bit more to Vincent van Gogh than just that. Vincent van Gogh was a Dutch post-impressionist painter who was born on March 30th, 1853, to an upper-middle-class family in the Netherlands. He had two brothers and three sisters, and yet even with all that energy in the house, he was often described as being a very serious, quiet, and thoughtful child. He had an interest in art from a very young age, too. Not only did his grandfather have three sons that became art dealers, but his mother also encouraged him to draw from a very young age. So it won't be a surprise when I tell you that Vincent van Gogh also worked as a traveling art dealer in his younger years. During his time traveling as an art dealer, this was when he found himself infatuated with a woman who had been secretly engaged to someone else, and her rejection put him in a pretty sour state of mind. After figuring this out and having his heart broken, his father and uncle then arranged for him to move to Paris in 1875, and this was where Vincent really became resentful of things in the art world, especially when we talk about art dealers commercializing art rather than selling it to people who would really enjoy it and value it. Clearly, that sour mood and resentfulness of his job was not a good combo, and it led him to being fired from that traveling art dealer gig in 1876. At that point, Vincent van Gogh turned to religion and then started serving as a missionary in southern Belgium. He moved around a lot and really just muddled his way through life by doodling and translating passages from the Bible into English, French, and German. Over the next few years, he seemed to really struggle to find his place and his calling in life. Surprisingly, his life was incredibly relatable, even though this was over 140 years ago. He was in his early 20s, he had been rejected by a woman who he thought was the love of his life, and he hated his job. Sounds like life back then wasn't all that different than some people's stories today. But one of the things that Vincent van Gogh had going for him was his relationship with his brother Theo. Because of his brother's encouragement, he then went to study under an artist who was able to convince him to attend the Royal Art Academy of someplace or another in 1880. I'm sorry, this art academy has a very foreign name that I don't want to butcher, but that is where he really got into painting. This is where we see a lot of his early works dating between 1883 and 1886. And to really boil down Vincent van Gogh's schooling career at a couple different art academies, I'll just say that his teachers really were not a fan of his work and his painting styles. There are at least three different people's names here who were his instructors, and every time it was just oil and water. And I get it, because as an art student, if you're asked to draw the Venus de Milo during drawing class and you make a limbless, naked torso of a Flemish peasant woman, then yeah, I don't think your instructor was going to be too happy with you. I would hope that professors nowadays would have a little bit better of a reaction than Van Gogh's instructor, who was so mad that when he marked corrections to Van Gogh's drawing in red crayon, he did that with so much rage that he tore the paper. But then again, I did tell you guys just a couple of weeks ago about the legend of the art professor at my college who literally dropped kick students' projects across the stage. So maybe that's just the art world for you. I don't know. But what is even funnier about this Van Gogh story is that when this incident happened, Van Gogh flew off the handle and screamed at this guy in an absolute volcano level of violent rage. He was so angry that, according to some accounts, that was the last time he went to class and he was expelled by the professor. Other accounts of this whole situation say that a month later, teachers decided that Van Gogh and 17 other students had to repeat a year, which kind of debunks the whole expulsion theory. But either way, it's still a fun little side story about Vincent Van Gogh. Anywho's my whatsits, let's finish recapping the rest of Van Gogh's life super quick so we can get on to the more interesting stuff. Van Gogh moved to Paris in 1886, where he lived in Montmartre with his brother Theo. His time in Paris was really what shaped his work into being brighter and bolder, and this is a period in his works where we see a lot of variation and exploration of French influences and even some Japanese influences as well. After that exploratory phase, 1888 through 1890 are considered his years of artistic breakthrough, where he created some of his most iconic pieces. He spent a lot of time in southern France near the Mediterranean Sea, where he completed something like 200 paintings and more than 100 drawings and watercolors. That is a lot, because that is somewhere close to a painting a day if you're talking about a one-year period. Van Gogh also became friends with Paul Gauguin, who was a pretty big-time French painter. While that relationship did have its ups and downs, Gauguin was a huge influence on Van Gogh's work. Looking at my research, it sounds like there were times when they would get into some fights, though. It probably stems from the idea that Van Gogh really admired Gauguin and wanted to be treated as his equal, but Gauguin was a little arrogant and domineering, so naturally that might not have created the best dynamic between friends. Combine that with Van Gogh feeling more and more like Gauguin was going to desert him, that increasing fear of abandonment was not healthy either and was bound to start tipping the scales towards the infamous Van Gogh ear incident. While we're still kind of unsure about the exact sequence of events that led up to Van Gogh mutilating his own ear, Gauguin did mention 15 years later that in the days leading up to the incident, there were several instances of physically threatening behavior. I really think that with it being such a complex relationship, if you add in the possibility that Van Gogh's brother Theo might have owed Gauguin some money and Gauguin suspected the brothers were financially exploiting him, this whole situation was headed for disaster. On the day of the incident, there was a lot of rain that kept Van Gogh and Gauguin stuck inside their house that they were sharing. At one point, Gauguin left to go on a walk, and that fear of abandonment thing that I mentioned in Van Gogh was triggered, and Gauguin says that Van Gogh charged at him with a razor. So clearly, things were reaching a tipping point. After a spat between the two on December 23rd, 1888, Van Gogh returned to his room where it's reported that he started hearing voices, and at that point, he either completely or partially cut off his left ear, which, as you can imagine, was a very messy ordeal. One thing that you might not know about this incident is that after he bandaged up his wound, he wrapped off his severed earpiece in paper and delivered that package to a 17-year-old cleaning girl who worked in a brothel that he went to frequently. This sounds absolutely insane, but then again, if you cut off your own ear, then clearly you aren't thinking rationally anyway. Van Gogh was then found unconscious the next morning by a policeman, and he was rushed to the hospital. Unfortunately, they could not even try to reattach this ear because too much time had passed. And to top this whole story off, Van Gogh had no recollection of what happened. If my memory of previous psychology research that I've done is correct, that could suggest that he might have had an acute mental breakdown, which is supported by the hospital diagnosis of acute mania and generalized delirium. At this point, Gauguin got the heck out of Dodge and he left for Paris. Gauguin and Van Gogh never saw each other again. It really was a sad situation because then Van Gogh returned to the house where they were both staying, and being all alone, he suffered from hallucinations, delusions of poisoning, he was in and out of the hospital, and eventually he voluntarily entered an asylum in May of 1889. Believe it or not, this asylum is actually where Van Gogh painted some of his most iconic works. Drawing inspiration from the gardens of the institution, this is where he painted The Starry Night, which I am going to say is arguably his most famous work. It was during this time that he started to gain some notoriety with his work, and eventually he did leave the institution, but unfortunately his mind got the worst of him, and then he shot himself in the chest with a revolver on July 27th of 1890. On this day in particular, he was out painting in a wheat field, and when he pulled that trigger, the bullet was deflected by one of his ribs. It passed through him cleanly without doing any major damage to vital organs, and he was able to walk back to civilization where some doctors tried to patch him up. What's crazy is that it was not the gunshot wound that did him in, it was the infection that caught up to him 2 days later. I think there's always going to be debate over how Van Gogh's mental illness affected his works and if it made him a better artist because of it, but aside from all of that, he is widely considered to be one of the biggest artistic geniuses of his time. His works are in so many museums all over the world. What I find so interesting is that while there are so many Impressionist and Post-Impressionist paintings in galleries that sit right next to Van Gogh works, his paintings are so iconic that it is very easy to look at one and say, yep, that's a Van Gogh. There's something about them that are so different and mold-breaking for the time period, and whether or not you're a fan of that style of painting or maybe not, I still think that's what really makes Van Gogh's work stand out in the art world. And with that level of notoriety, it starts to make sense why his works are so sought after and so valuable. Quickly looking at a list of his top 10 most valuable paintings that have been sold over the years, not a single one of them is worth less than $50 million. That is just absolutely mind-boggling to think about how this one painter who struggled throughout his entire life has produced paintings that are now worth tens of millions of dollars. Granted, even if he had lived to be 100 years old, he still wouldn't be around today to see that kind of money in his bank account, but it's still just so crazy to think about. Now, with all of that being said, I hope you might have a little better knowledge surrounding who Van Gogh is and why someone might want to go to all the effort of breaking into a museum to steal some of his works. I was able to find at least 10 different times a Van Gogh piece had been stolen. This list includes both times when it was one work among a bunch of other works by other artists as part of a grab-it-all-and-go type of heist, but this list also includes times when Van Gogh paintings were specifically targeted. One thing I found super interesting is that when I came into creating this whole podcast, even from the very beginning, I had this strange notion in my head that all of the art heist stories that I would be doing on the podcast had to be from like 30 or 40, even 50 years ago or older. But it turns out that the most recent theft of a Van Gogh painting was only 3 years ago during the COVID lockdown. So looking at Van Gogh works as a whole, a lot has happened to these pieces over the years, and there's a ton of them out there, which allows for a bigger opportunity for them to have things happen to them. But I think for today's episode, we're going to look at one that really stuck out as a good head-scratching whodunit. We'll dive into that one right after the break. Welcome back, everyone. We are ready to get into the best part of today's episode. I will be honest, it was kind of hard to choose which of the times a Van Gogh painting had been stolen, so I basically threw a pen at the computer screen when I was researching, and whichever one it hit was the one that I decided to research for today. I know that that is a very lame and boring way of playing darts, but it worked, and it landed on the 1991 heist from the Vincent Van Gogh National Museum in Amsterdam. I'm actually very happy that my pen dart landed on this one because it is one of the funnier and more unfortunate ones on the list, and I think it's going to make for a great episode title. So let's dive in. The Vincent van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam is a Dutch art museum that is dedicated to the works of course, Van Gogh, but also some of his contemporaries. As the name would imply, this building contains the largest collection of Van Gogh paintings and drawings in the entire world. And in terms of visitors, we're looking at somewhere in the ballpark of 2.3 million people each year, if that 2017 number is still holding strong. If you have ever seen Facebook or Instagram ads for the immersive digital exhibition where they project Van Gogh paintings on walls and do all kinds of trippy stuff, then yes, that exhibition is from this museum and it travels globally to show off the life and works of Vincent Van Gogh. This museum opened up in 1973, and it did manage to go a few years without any super notable incidents, that is, until the early morning of Sunday, April 14th, 1991. I am really not sure what art thieves' fascination is with toilets and broom closets, because while we've heard it here on Artrageous before, this case also has another bathroom hiding spot. To pull off this heist, our ski-masked bandit hid in a bathroom while the gallery closed on Saturday at 5 p.m. He was waiting for his opportune moment, and I guess that arrived at around 3 a.m. on Sunday morning when he emerged from his not-so-original hiding spot with a firearm in hand. At that point, he approached the security guards, and somehow he managed to lock one of them in a storeroom. I'm just going to assume that the firearm was probably enough to convince the guard to jump into that closet with only a little bit of protesting. He forced the remaining two security guards to open the front door, and that is when another thief came in and joined our bathroom squatter. Together, they forced the security guards to turn off the infrared sensing alarm system that would have been triggered if it had detected any movement. According to the guards, these two thieves then spent the next 45 minutes picking out which paintings they wanted to take. Now, I am no art heist mastermind, but wouldn't logic and almost every TV show or movie say that being quick is one of the main factors of a successful heist? I know the perception of time is really weird when you're in a stressful situation, but these two guys had to be cool as a cucumber to stay there any longer than they had to. And you would think that if they had planned out the heist well enough to hide in a bathroom for 10 hours, then maybe they would have spent some of their time figuring out which pieces they wanted to take. I don't know. This all just sounds so bizarre, but that is not even the weirdest part. The thieves ended up selecting 20 paintings that were among Van Gogh's more valuable later works. To name drop a few of these, just in case you're familiar with any of them, the thieves took the Potato Eaters, they took Still Life with Irises, Wheatfield with Crows was in there, and there was also a self-portrait that was among the 20 paintings that were stolen. If we think about these 20 paintings that were stolen, they were very, very carefully selected, and they were some of the more valuable paintings in the museum. If that is the case, then why would the thieves just stuff them into an expandable garment bags all willy-nilly and haphazardly? For all the care and time that these thieves put into selecting the paintings that they wanted to steal, they sure as heck had zero care when putting them into their two little art thief bags. After they were done doing their very meticulous shopping at the local art museum, they then escaped in a gray Volkswagen Passat that belonged to one of the guards. Just 1 minute after the thieves left, at 4:48 a.m., the guards triggered the security system to call that robbery into the Amsterdam police. As for our masked thieves, they made their way to the Amstel train station, where they had planned a rendezvous with a different getaway vehicle.
Unfortunately for them, their plan was thwarted when they realized that their second car wasn't there waiting for them. They would later learn that it was because it got a flat tire on the way to pick them up. So with their first plan totally out the window and no backup in sight, these thieves got really spooked and they abandoned the guard's car with the paintings still inside, and then they just disappeared into the night. The gray Volkswagen was then discovered at 5:23 a.m. It was abandoned and unlocked at the train station. A search of the car revealed that all of the paintings were accounted for, despite some of them being in pretty bad shape from being stuffed into those garment bags. Wildly, and unfortunately for the museum, these paintings were not covered by insurance. There had recently been an increase in museum thefts around that time, including three separate thefts of other Van Gogh paintings within the last 3 years. So because of this, insurance premiums were spiking, and the museums thought that it would be thriftier to spend that money on tightened security and then bank on that as an insurance policy rather than insuring the actual paintings. A spokesperson for the museum said that these stolen paintings were worth literally hundreds of millions of dollars. One number that I found that was just a little bit more specific estimated that the value of those paintings was around $500 million. The museum's director said that three of the recovered paintings had been very severely torn when they were stuffed into those garment bags. But at the same time, they also commented that in the past, there had been works with even more serious damage that had been successfully restored. So it sounded like, despite all of the damage, that they would be able to repair these paintings. But what about our failed thieves? I wasn't able to find anything specific detailing what happened in that investigation or what happened between when the police found the getaway car and then 3 months later on July 18th, 1991, when authorities slapped handcuffs on four Dutch nationals. Ironically, it turns out that one of the guys was one of the security guards working inside the museum the night of the heist. A second accomplice was a former employee of the museum's security firm. So lots of inside information that kind of accounts for why the thieves were not in any particular hurry on the night of the heist. The other two guys that were arrested were the apparent masterminds. They had made promises to the security guard and the former security worker that those two would receive a substantial fee for helping them with the robbery. There are some theories that the thieves were working on orders from a higher authority, but none of that has ever been proven, and no one else has ever been arrested for the crime. These four guys, though, they were tried, convicted, and sentenced to prison time. So yeah, all around, a very embarrassing attempt at stealing millions of dollars worth of art back in 1991. Despite the fact that this theft kind of went sideways for the thieves, at the time, this was considered the largest art theft in the Netherlands since the Second World War. Of course, the title of largest art theft in the world since the Second World War goes to another case that I'll be digging into in a mini-series coming up soon, but I would still say that the Van Gogh theft in today's story was pretty fun. And what's crazy is that, like I mentioned earlier, this story about the 1991 Van Gogh Museum heist is just one of the many times that Van Gogh works have been the target of art theft cases, and pretty much any one of them would make for some interesting stories here on Artrageous. So before we wrap up things for today, I just wanted to give my weekly reminder to rate and review Artrageous in your podcast app. I know I have some changes coming up in regards to the frequency of release dates, but I am still sticking with this podcast and I will still be updating the Artrageous feed. So please leave me a rating or review to continue to help get this show out there so that other people can find it and enjoy it. And with that change in release schedule, don't worry, we still have one more week until that starts up. So I will be back next week with our last weekly episode. And after that, the fun and crazy stories of the art and design world will still be coming your way on Artrageous, but also in some standalone miniseries as well. I am super excited about that, but before I start working on that project, I still have that other episode that I have planned for next week. So remember to tune in next Thursday, and until then, stay Artrageous.
Series music created by Arensen. Music and transition sounds licensed from Motion Array. Artrageous is a proud partner of Stoveleg Media.
Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.